Blog Talk Radio.
All right, we're going to continue with the show today. We have wonderful guests on the show. I want to thank you all for tuning in to 97.5 FM Real Community Radio in Northport, Florida, as well as Bomb Baby Radio in New York City and the Dream Chasers Radio Network. Thank you again so much for being an avid listener. We got 700 plus downloads of yesterday's show, so we are looking to break the record. Hey, 800 of you, download the show. It's free. My gosh, I am excited about this next guest. Former foster child, military sexual trauma survivor, formerly homeless, USAF retired, and most recently the CEO and founder of Breaking the Cycle, Isha on the line. What's up?
Hi, yeah. And it's Aisha, just to clear that up. It's okay.
Oh, ooh, goodness. I didn't put my tongue in my mouth. Oh, I'm sorry. Aisha.
Yes.
So tell us,
it's okay.
Tell us about yourself. Tell us more about yourself. Your journey seems to be so interesting, and it's just like, wow, you come from one thing to another. How did you get from one place to the other?
Oh man, a lot of prayer, and just like self reflection. I feel like a lot of us go through life and, you know, we fear things, right? And we're like, oh, well, you know, if that ever happened to me, you know, well, the worst that I thought could happen to me, and it continued to happen. You know what I'm saying? So I really started to evaluate, why those things were happening. Some of them were out of my control, but some of them were. So I just started, I changed the position of how I viewed my life.
And growing up as a foster child, what was that like?
It was really interesting because in the first stages of me being in foster care, I was actually with my two siblings. I think we got taken the first time around 7 or 8, and we were housed together. And we would have visits with our mom, but the foster parents were just really, really vicious. And I know, you know, that's not everybody's story, but, you know, unfortunately that was our story. And, we couldn't go in the refrigerator. Like, we couldn't even have simple things as ice. You know, when we came back from visits, my mom would provide, like, you know, snacks and different things from us. Any money, they would take it. You know what I'm saying?
What?
So we really, like, Yeah, it was crazy. It was so crazy. Like, it was like we were prisoners in a sense, you know, and that's the unfortunate thing about that. And then in the second phase of foster care, I actually got taken out of foster care by my mom's sister, my biological aunt, you know, but that wasn't great, you know, either, just because she was really, they had grown up in foster care, and I don't know if she just had issues. She was really young. She was 19. And she didn't really know how to handle the trauma that I had experienced because she was still going through trauma. So I got taken away from her around 14 for physical abuse. Like, it was just really, really bad physical abuse and neglect. She actually got had to go to jail and stuff for that. So, yeah.
Wow. And so then sexual trauma and formerly homeless.
Yeah. So the sexual trauma, I was actually molested. And I don't know if you've ever experienced trauma and you kind of block it out. I was molested first, I know my mom used to leave us at home alone a lot when we were younger. And, you know, some of the things I kind of blocked out so much, I can't remember the particulars. I never, when we went through therapy and foster care, we never had a chance. They never talked about those things. You know what I'm saying? They just kind of saw us as like projects and different things like that. So it wasn't really like rehabilitating. But so I went through molestation at about 8-ish. And then I went through trauma also with while I was in the military, which was really interesting. And if, you know, anybody, any of the listeners get a chance to go to my blog, on WordPress, Breaking the Cycle, I just started sharing that particular story. And it's posted on Instagram and my other social media outlets. But I was just talking about how, because of the trauma, the sexual trauma that I had and the molestation that I had as a child, it left me open to receive that as an adult. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand why, you know, women, you know, they're having sex or they may seem promiscuous or whatever the case may be, they just don't understand mm-hmm. that it stems from things, you know, it could possibly stem from something in the childhood. You know what I'm saying? Where you equate, you know, sex with love, and that's just not, you know what I'm saying, the thing, and you equate that with validation, and you start to think that that's what, you know, you're supposed to do, and, you know, where you're meant to be, and that's the only thing you have to offer. So as I got into the military, I shared the story about how my first supervisor, you know, I actually had just had a kid, new in the world. I went into the Air Force 2 weeks out of high school. And so, you know, I had no idea about anything from the foster care to the Air Force, you know. So I had gotten pregnant, teen pregnancy, and what's so interesting about that is that I was reading statistics on children in foster care, and they said about a large percent, maybe about 50% or so, don't quote me on that, of women in foster care end up teen moms. You know, and wow. I had no idea, you know what I'm saying? And so, like, as I'm going through life, I'm learning about my life. You know, I'm learning about the statistics, and I had no idea I was statistics. You see what I'm saying? So going forward, as I, you know, went into the Air Force, like I said, I got pregnant within the first year and a half or so. And as I was, you know, within the 6 months, the 7 months, my supervisor, he was just kind of like preying on me in a sense. And he was always putting me in positions, you know, to where, you know, just kind of like cornering me, you know, for whatever it is. And you know, just put me in compromising positions. And so for me, in my mind at that time, all I knew is that I had just come from foster care. I came from nothing, you know. So I very well could not allow, you know, this, like I couldn't tell on him. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because, you know, I didn't know, you know, and so I was like, I can't, you know, lose my career and everything that I work for. Like, I'm just getting in, you know, so why is it like, you know, what's up with my life to where it always has to be a big deal about everything, you know?
Wow.
And so I couldn't share, you know, that. And so I stayed in fear and sense, like it was days that, you know, he would kind of like let me off from work, you know, early, just so it wouldn't appear that, you know, we were, you know what I'm saying? Like leaving at the same time or anything was going on. And what ended the situation was that I actually ended up getting pregnant. And, you know, that would have been a big deal. You know, so, of course, that was crazy. I didn't know what to do at that time. I spoke with another one of my superiors, a female, and I just told her everything that was going on. And so she was like, well, you obviously can't have this baby. You know, she was like, you can. I was like, yeah, I know. And so she was like, yeah. She was like, well, do you have money? And I was like, no, I don't have money. You know, because, you know, I'm a single mom. And, you know, like, and so I went and she was like, you have to tell him, you know, and I was scared again. And so I ended up telling him and he ended up getting deployed maybe like a month or two later. And he was like, well, I don't have any money. And like, this is my NCO, you know what I'm saying? My senior, you know, sergeant or whatever. So it was just a really difficult situation. And so ended up, I had the abortion going forward. He came back from his deployment. We're still working in the same section, you know. And so he tried to start it up again, and I ended up telling, I requested if I could be moved to a different section, and, you know, he's still continuing with the advances. But then I was just like, hey, I got to tell somebody else, and I just explained to them. It was another supervisor, and I was just like, hey, listen, I can't deal with this anymore. You know, would you please go and talk to him? You know, I'm not trying to get him in trouble, and I don't want to lose my career, you know, so, you know, please go and talk to him. And so ever since then, it kind of stopped. And then after that, I got deployed to, or not deployed, but an assignment to Korea. So, yeah, so that was that story as far as my military sexual trauma. Yeah.
Wow, and wow. So coming from foster child, sexual trauma, and then to homelessness.
Yes.
We're going to skip that. That's self-explanatory. And then USAF hired. Tell us about going from, you knew that just everything was just, oh, my gosh, just discombobulated. But you know that you know that something better is going to happen. You know that you know.
Absolutely.
When did it all change for you? When did it turn around for you, and how?
Oh, so to be honest, one of the biggest, like, gifts and the curse, and I don't want anybody to take this lightly that's listening, is my family. You know, like, we're born into a family. We don't really get to select them, you know. And a lot of the things that I've done or, you know, or have experiences been on account of my family, good, bad, indifferent, whatever. And so it's this one situation where I shared on my Periscope maybe like 2.5 years ago, and I got in one of my sisters. I'm the oldest of 5 children. One of my sisters, once I got out of the military, she was in a really bad relationship, toxic, you know, like abusive boyfriend, battered woman type of syndrome. They were having a situation to where he was fighting her. You know, I didn't really understand what PTSD was. You know what I'm saying? And how, like, it played a role in the steps that I took in my life. And, you know, I didn't know my triggers. I didn't know the environment. I was freshly new out of the military. So, long story short, they got into an altercation. She called me, and like my family always did, they always called me to, in a sense, save them. You know what I'm saying? Like, for whatever it was. So I came over, you know, and he and I and his family members had actually gotten into an altercation, okay? You know, and so ended up, I took my sister and her children, my children at the time, we left, went back to my place. You know, he ended up coming and getting her that night, you know, but from that point, I knew that I could not deal with them anymore because it was too many negative situations that was happening, you know, and I was kind of taking care of them just so I can, what I found myself doing was being an enabler to my siblings. You know, and so instead of getting them out of the environment or whatever the case may be, I kind of went to them and went to where they felt comfortable just so I could build that relationship with them, you know, so which got me into a lot of, you know, interesting situations. So long story short, during that altercation, I had a weapon, which I always had a knife because I had, like, knives, you know, like Gerbers from when I was in the military, whatever the case may be. Because I was being, like, it was maybe like 4 or 5 against 1, I pulled out that knife. So they ended up taking the knife from me while we was fighting. So spring forward to about a month, my sister called me again and said, hey, sis, you know, I got all these people. Basically, they were in a situation where she was the only one working, but the boyfriend had his family in there in a 2-bedroom apartment. It was about 13 of them. Okay, and so she's like, hey, I need to get them out of here, and, you know, I don't know what to do, da-da-da. I was like, why don't you just call somebody, you know, call, you know, Child Protective Services, or, you know, DSS is what we call it in South Carolina, and, you know, get them out of there. So she's like, I don't know who to call, so I called, and then as a retaliation, they took the weapon, and the boyfriend went to the sheriff's department and filed a, put an arrest out for me for attempted murder. Because in the state of South Carolina, you can get a charge for anything as small as a nail file, an attempted murder charge for anything as small as a nail file, right? So long story short, I got a knock on my door from Fusion Task Force, you know, or not Fusion Task, but U.S. Marshals, and, you know, they told me they had a warrant for my arrest. So I went in, you know, my sister found out, my sister had actually wrote a statement against me. It was crazy. Mm. So, you know, yeah.
Hello? My gosh.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Okay. So, I'm gonna stop it right there because there's always so much more. But so from that point and through that process, I just realized that something had to change. Okay, and I had to start setting boundaries for all people coming into my life, even my family. You know what I'm saying? And I had to, you know, kind of like reevaluate my self-worth and find my voice again. So for me, healing is what got me to this point of breaking the cycle and really breaking down those barriers that had kept me from being consistent, that kept me from running away from my purpose. I had to break those things down. So, yeah.
Wow. Wow. And, you know, you're right. You really can't choose who you're born into, what family you're born into, but you just have to deal with the situations as they come. So tell me about breaking the cycle, and why did you spell cycle P-S-Y-C-H-L-E-N-L-E, sorry, and then and
yes,
it's you wanted to be New York City. What?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Yes. So, oh, man, breaking the cycle is I realize that there is so much power in your mind. If you can break the cycle of your mind, the barriers of your mind, you can change your whole life, okay? And I've experienced all of these things, but I don't look like it. I don't feel like it, you know, but I thank God, and I don't, you know what people subscribe to, but I'm so grateful, you know, to that super force, that superpower that's just allowed me to take all of these things and turn them into purpose. You know what I'm saying? So breaking the cycle happened. Another interesting story is that after the situation happened, I was broke, you know, like, you know, I'm still kind of, but, you know, but like a financial hardship, severe financial hardship. I came up to New York. Uh-huh. My mother, my biological mother, was here at the time, or she still is here, but she was here. And I was like, hey, Mom, listen, me and the boys need to come up there. I need to save some money. I need to get a lawyer, you know, because I just can't continue to, you know, they were just really screwing me around. And if you don't have money, and I don't know how many people, you know or have experience with the legal system, if you don't have the money to get out, you know, you got to get a public defender, you know, and you got to plead. Yeah. Most of the time they put us in situations to where you have to plead to get out. You see what I'm saying? Whether you're guilty or not. You know, and so, you know, and I didn't have a record, you know, and it wasn't true. I didn't try to kill the man. He was never, you know, hurt. You know, it was really self-defense. But they didn't care about that. And the lawyers in South Carolina wanted like $5,000 up front. And I'm like, how am I supposed to get that and still pay my bills? So long story short, I tried to do that. And so I came to New York in hopes to, you know, just save some money. Well, my mom at the time was actually in she was 6 years clean, but I didn't know that she was in a relationship with a guy that was using. And so that still created that negative environment. And so with so much friction with that, you know, and you know, that's a whole nother story. But what happened was we ended up getting into, oftentimes throughout my life, my mom has done things to me, from stealing my car, stealing my money, you know, pulling knives out on me. That's just, you know, was her thing. And that became like a normal way of life with me, like I expected it. I know it sounds crazy, but chaos is my normal, you know, and I know that sounds insane, but, you know, it is. And so this time in particular, she actually ended up pushing me over the balcony, attempting to push me over the balcony in front of my children, you know, and I'm like, what? You know, like we're at this again? You know what I'm saying? I thought we had moved past, you know. So long story short, that sent us into the shelter system here in New York, you know, and that's a story in its own as well. And so from that, going through that as a veteran, you know, they break you down in the shelter system. You know, they dehumanize you. Mm-hmm. They pour through your life as if you're so insignificant, as if you've never done anything worth anything in your whole life. And so, you know, I had to rebuild myself after that. You know, I had to. And so I started going out in the city, volunteering at food banks, you know, active as, you know, being an active parent in the school system, just learning so much about everything, just to keep me kind of focused and, you know, just keep me elevated while I was being, while I felt like I was being torn down, you know, so that just had me connect with so many people. And I got to learn stories that were so similar to mine. And I'm like, wait a minute, how so many people going through the same thing? And guess what? They've experienced homelessness. You know, they come from dysfunctional backgrounds. You know, they come from, you know what I'm saying, broken homes and all of these things. So I have to figure out a way, you know, to break this cycle. And the cycle is of the mind. And even though at this moment it's starting with homeless women, you know what I'm saying, it's a movement that's greater than that. It's actually a challenge for everybody to look at their situation and their life and break the cycle. You know, whether it be financial, you understand generational curses, communities, the school system, it's so many things that, you know, we need to break the cycle on if we look around.
Amazing, amazing. So break the cycle is a B as in boy, or break, T as in the, and then cycle, P-S-Y-C-H-L-E, and then New York City, the abbreviation, which is nyc.wordpress.com. We do have that page up. You know, this is just, you are amazing. You're amazing. I mean, going through what you've gone through, coming out of it on top is not the norm. You know that, right?
Yeah. I'm realizing.
Yeah, coming out on top is not the norm. Usually the cycle breaks the person. And, you know, and I am so proud of you, so proud of that, that
you
have decided in your mind that breaking the cycle is of the utmost. And then to go back and grab other people who need to break this cycle. So what is it that you want to leave our listeners today? Because I want to make sure that I want to make sure that they understand that this can be done. Because like you said, you found people that were similar to you. There is absolutely nothing that you're going through in the world today that isn't similar to someone else's issue. And guess what? Some of them have broken the cycle too. What is it that you want to leave the list today?
Well, I think that I want to leave the listeners with I really want us to just start with believing in who we truly are. You know, kind of one of the things I did for myself in this space is I stepped away from society's version of who they thought I was supposed to be. And, you know, I literally turned off the TV. You know, I only tuned into what I needed to get to this space, if that makes any sense. And I still do it. Like, I really don't watch TV. I didn't even know it was a blizzard until my son's school called. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I know that's good. You know, it's good and bad. But, you know, because it's so much negative. And I really want people to go out and be accountable in their community. One of the things, because we live in this whole social media, whatever society, is that we look to celebrities, okay, to start, you know, to start a movement. Well, we're capable of starting a movement right where we are. You know? So one of my goals is I hope that it's a breaking the cycle all over the world in different hubs, you know? Breaking the cycle D.C., you know, breaking the cycle SC, breaking the cycle L.A., because we need to start doing this, because we can't depend on the system, you see what I'm saying, to fix us. I think we have to start holding ourselves accountable and taking action. So for today, I just really want people to really look around and take action and believe that you deserve more than what the society is telling you that, you know, you should have. We're just a greater people. So I guess that's my end message.
Wow. And you're so right. You know, I want to thank you for being on the show, Aisha. I want to thank you for coming through and being
thank
that
so
role
much.
Model. Hey, you know, it is what, I mean, you got to take it for what it is. You are a very unique person. And being unique is really, really cool, because that means that no matter what people throw at you, you can handle it and throw right back at them and see what they'll do with it. You know, it's not an easy thing to be unique, because you're abnormal, you're not the norm, and that's pretty much where I live every day. You're not being the norm. But you know what? At the same time, I want to let you know that I was never a foster child. I was not homeless, but I was definitely molested.
Yes.
And I grew up in an abuse, I grew up around abuse. So, you know, we all have something similar that we have to overcome.
Absolutely.
But what you're doing is you're breaking the cycle, not only in the mind, but in the physical. And your kids, they have such a wonderful mom. And I want to say that you are inspiration. Keep doing it. Don't stop.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that so much. Thank you. Thank you. I'm trying not to cry.
No, I mean, because you know what? You actually have come out. You deserve it. You deserve better. And you have come a long way. And not only that, now you're going back and you're grabbing others and telling them their self-worth is amazing. You have so much to give.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
And so do you. And so do you. And keep giving and keep doing it, because guess what? It's working.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being on the show. And see how that was? That was cool, wasn't it? See? I told you.
It was amazing. We can go again. We'll be back tomorrow.
Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in to Dream Chasers Radio with me, your host, Yaya Diamond. That was Aisha, and she is amazing. You want to go ahead and go over to her website at B, as in breaking, T as in the, cycle, which is P-S-Y-C-H-L-E, and then NYC for New York City, .wordpress.com. Go ahead, be a support, and I am sure that she will be amazing, just as much as she's amazing on this show today. Thank you again so much, Aisha, for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Yaya, and thank you so much to all the listeners that were tuning in. You guys are amazing. I felt the good energy. That's why this was good. Thanks.
All right, guys. Until next time, don't forget to dare to be different, baby. Just like me and Aisha, we're going to be different. Hey.
Of course.
I'm not afraid to be.